Tizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. I don't know about you, but he doesn't sound like the kind of guy that I would want a daughter bringing to meet the family. He ate locust and wild honey. Now, the honey might not be so bad, especially if you had some sopapillas to put it on. But locust? Locust? Have you ever seen a locust? The most ugly, disgusting little creatures I've ever seen. They are, ugh. And the idea of eating them makes me sick to my stomach. It's ruining my appetite. Thank goodness we ate breakfast today in the United Methodist Men, isn't it? He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now, the other two synoptic gospels, Matthew and Luke, generally depict John's difficulty with performing the baptism. In Mark's gospel, we see why. John knew he wasn't worthy to baptize Jesus. As St. Matthew records it, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" I understand John's confusion there, as depicted in Matthew's gospel. The idea that a simple human being would need to baptize Jesus blew him away. The idea of baptizing Jesus conflicted with the understanding and the expectation of what baptism was for. Mark tells us what baptism is for here: for the forgiveness of sins. And we in the church know and we proclaim that Jesus had no sins, had no sins to repent of, had no reason to repent. So why was Jesus baptized? And that's what my question is today. Why was Jesus baptized? Now, in the history of the church, there have been some theories as to why Jesus was baptized. The most famous of these theories is that Jesus was baptized to set a pattern for you and me, that we should be baptized. And so he set that pattern by being baptized himself. He was baptized in order that we would know that we would need to be baptized. That's an interesting idea, but it leaves open the question, why didn't Jesus baptize his own disciples? Why didn't Jesus baptize Peter and James and John? Three characters who, quite frankly, needed to be baptized. Especially Peter and the sons of thunder, James and John. They needed to be baptized. They needed to be washed clean for the repentance, the forgiveness of their sins. Why didn't Jesus baptize his own disciples if his getting baptized was to set a pattern for you and for me? Why didn't Jesus baptize his own disciples during his ministry on earth? So the question about his being baptized is setting a pattern from us, while it's certainly a possible explanation for why Jesus was baptized, it needn't be the only explanation that we grasp to. Take a look at the affirmation of faith we have in the Nicene Creed. If you turn in the back of your hymnals, take your hymnals now and turn to page 880. Down near the bottom of this affirmation of faith, we say, we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Now, if Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. Now, if all that's true about him, and that's stated at the top of the Nicene Creed in that second section, it's also straight from Scripture in terms of its interpretation. All that being true about Jesus, why would he be baptized for the forgiveness of sins? That's the question. Doesn't sound like he needed to be to me. Setting a pattern for us would be one possibility, but there is another possibility that I want us to look at today. I have a digital camera, and for it to work, I have to have batteries to put in it. And those batteries energize it and make it possible for it to function. Your car has a battery in it. For your car to start, you need to either have a battery that has a charge on it, or you need to be hooked up to another car that has its motor running and a battery in it that is charged in it, so that you can start your car. If you don't have a charge in your battery, it won't function. You can't start your car. If I don't have a charge in the batteries in my digital camera, when I push the button, nothing happens. There's no flash, no pictures taken. Batteries, for them to function, have to be charged. And sometimes I think about the baptism of Jesus is exactly that. Scripture gives us a reason why he was baptized. It's found in Matthew. It says that he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all of our righteousness. I think that Jesus was baptized to charge, to sanctify, to establish baptism as the way through which we are given God's righteousness. I think that Jesus was baptized to sanctify, to establish, to charge the very act of baptism with the ability to forgive sins. He didn't need to be baptized. We do. He didn't need to be forgiven. We do. Hence, he was baptized not just as an example for us to be baptized, but he was baptized to charge the act of baptism, to give it the ability, if you will, to forgive, to give it the ability to be a sacrament through which we can know the presence and power of Jesus in our lives, to give it the ability to be that means through which we can be put into Christ. He was baptized to make a connection with that act of baptism so that we, when we receive it, can be transformed by it. He was baptized to charge it up, like I charge up the batteries for my camera in my charger. He was baptized to charge up the act of baptism, to make it into a sacrament, so that when we receive it, and when we remember our baptisms and are reconnected to our baptisms, it brings to us that sanctifying, life-transforming power that only the real presence of Jesus can bring. That's why I believe Jesus was baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. Our righteousness is fulfilled in him. We become, we take on, we can become righteous in Jesus Christ only by his grace. And we receive his grace by faith. And when we say yes and accept his love and his grace in our lives and are planted again in Christ Jesus, His righteousness comes to fill us, to cover us, to wipe away our sins, to cleanse our souls, to make us new and fresh, to live in the body of Christ. That's why Jesus was baptized. Not just to set a pattern for us, although it definitely was that. It was even more than that. Not just to set a pattern for us, but to make the actual act itself viable for us, real for us, efficacious for us, transforming for us, sanctifying for us. It made it a means of grace for you and for me. So that when we were baptized, and when we remember our baptisms, we are reconnected with that grace that Jesus endowed to the act of baptism by His being baptized. When we are baptized, or when we remember our baptism, we are reconnected to that grace that Jesus imparted to the act of baptism by Himself being baptized. Indeed, I believe that His being baptized is crucial, not for His forgiveness of sins, for He had none, for our forgiveness of sins. Jesus was baptized for the remission of our sins. And when we remember our baptism, we are brought back into membership, remembered to that event in which our sins were put on Christ on the cross and washed completely away from us. Give thanks to God for the gift of baptism that we have. Give thanks to God for the gift that we have received in our own baptisms. Give thanks to God and glory to God that Jesus would stoop to our level and submit Himself to baptism to charge up that act of baptism that we might receive grace through it. Just as He charged Holy Communion by celebrating it in that last first Lord's Supper, just as He charged up Scripture by reading it in the synagogue, just as He charged up prayer by teaching us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, just as He charged up healing by healing others, just as He charged up forgiveness by forgiving others, just as He charged up fellowship by fellowshipping with His disciples and with others, even those who were not part of His circle, just as He charged up all of the means of grace by doing them, so also He charged up baptism by being baptized, so that we might partake of the grace that He has to give us through the act. When we speak about means of grace, as I spoke last Sunday, and as I am speaking today, when we speak about the means of grace, we're talking about an instrument through which we receive God's miraculous, life-transforming grace. God's, as I said with the youth today in confirmation class, God's unearned divine favor that He gives to us if only we receive it. Through the means of grace, through the methods of Methodism, if you will, through the methods that we have in the sacraments and the sacramental acts of Scripture and hymn and worship and fellowship and prayer. Through these means we receive God's real presence in Jesus Christ. Jesus was baptized to charge up the act of baptism so that through it, we could be reconnected with Him, and through Him, God. Give thanks to God for the grace that He has for you today. Give thanks to God for the grace that He imparted to you in your original baptism. Give thanks to God for the grace we receive every day through the many means of grace, that through them we are reminded of His love and of His presence with us here. Give thanks to God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.